A couple of my co-authors, Jennifer and Christina, were graduate students who helped with this project, and Mark Katz, who's now at the University of Minnesota, was instrumental in the program design. I don't have any conflicts of interest. Let me see if I can figure out. You can actually fall off the stage up here. The only conflicts of interest I have is approach avoidance of presenting. I've been doing this for like 20 years, and why is it you submit the abstract, you get it accepted, this is wonderful, and then you realize, okay, now I have to get up in front of people. It's a sun safety literacy program for children and parents and their caretakers. It was funded by the CDC. We're in the fourth year of funding. In 2010, I'm presenting the year three data where we had the programs implemented in 29 sites across 7 counties in New Jersey. We ramped up to 42 sites in 2010. And we were able to collect pre-post data at 23 community sites in the state. And where are those sites located? In the 7 different counties in New Jersey. Sussex, I don't know if you know New Jersey, it's the northwest region of New Jersey and the beach counties along the New Jersey shore. And the interventions were conducted at community pools, lakes, summer camps, and after care programs in the schools. And social marketing methods were used to reinforce sun safety knowledge and behaviors. This down here is our logo. You can't do social marketing and, you know, you have to have a logo. You have to brand your product. It uses a train-the-trainer model where lifeguards, camp counselors, school staff model the sun safety behavior and prompt children to engage in sun safety based on the awareness of the UV index. So, you know, wearing sunscreen, wearing lip balm, can't call it chapstick, that's essentially a product endorsement. Wearing hats, wearing sunglasses, and then knowing when it's best to cover up. This shot was taken when the UV index was 7, and so she didn't have her umbrella. Normally there's an umbrella that you can attach to the stand that shades her during high UV days. So sun safety, health literacy, I mean, when people, you know, have plans that day to go into the sun, they're checking out the temperature, they're looking at maybe the humidity, cloud cover, wind, what else? And what we're trying to promote is that you also need to look at the UV index for the day. And based on the UV index, that determines what your sun safety behaviors are going to be. So each morning, the UV index is text, emailed, or called into the staff site, and the correct UV sign is inserted and posted at the site entrance. And here's the 8, 9, or 10. Wearing sunscreen, wearing a hat. This is, if you can't see it, this is sunglasses, and then seeking shade when the UV index is that high. And then a sun-safe fact is actually posted. And there's about 20 facts that are posted throughout the summer. They are rotated throughout the summer. So the site staff at the top of the hour remind parents to reapply sunscreen once every 2 hours or more often if the child or children were in the water. There's also a focus on don't forget those ears, don't forget the tops of those feet. For those of you who've been sunburned, different regions of the body that get sunburned. And children are really good at putting it on their arms and then they put it on their legs and then you know, and they don't want to get near their eyes or their forehead, and that's where they actually get sunburned. And then at some point, the site staff, usually early afternoon, sometimes it started as early as 11 o'clock in the morning, depending on how many patrons were at the pool, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, the site staff would conduct what is called the Sun Safe Fact of the Day. Now, the Sun Safe Fact of the Day was actually posted throughout the site. And so children would then earn a reward. And these rewards were social marketing messaging, and they would be either pins, we had lip balm with messaging on the lip balm, we had bumper stickers, and some of the bumper stickers were things like, the sun is so mean, so slop on some screen. Another one would be, parents, it's past 10 a.m., do you know where your sunscreen is? Don't look medium rare, use SPF 30 plus where your body is bare. And these were bumper stickers and, you know, children, we also had UV wrist bracelets that turned bright purple when exposed to UV rays. And we had UV cards for the parents where they could just put out into the sun, and that could then determine what the UV index was for the day. And the facts, I mean, here are some of the facts. UV rays are strongest between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Having a base tan does not protect you from UV rays. UV rays in tanning beds, like UV rays from the sun, both cause skin cancer. Big movement in New Jersey with the tanning salons promoting tanning as a way of getting your vitamin D dose for the day. And we're trying to offset that. So the results for screen in 2009 are demographic characteristics. We had, a number of pre and post. County representation was mostly from the north. We had the graduate assistantships that helped with regard to data collection in the north. And that's our breakdown of in terms of county representation. Most of the participants, the caretaker types, were parents, and they were mostly moms. And these were in counties that were predominantly white. And these counties were chosen because of the melanoma rates and the skin cancer rates, and it's disproportionately higher in Caucasians. So we chose those particular counties. This graph here shows improvements in sun safety knowledge for the caretakers, for the parents, mostly the moms. And what we looked at, it's an ANCOVA, what we looked at is compliance three would be the staff indicated that they ran the program on most days. Compliance four was they ran the program on all days. We also had about 17% of our sites did not run the program on a regular basis. And there's been a lot of funding cuts in New Jersey with recreation staff that had something to do with it. And we got significant effects, main effects, in terms of compliance between pre and post. And then we also had significant effects between the compliance three and compliance four. Oh, and for those programs that ran the program some days, like 2 to 3 days a week, we got a statistical trend in terms of pre-post knowledge change. Now, you look at these numbers and you say, well, they're only getting 76% right. Keep in mind that this is a population-based program where the sun safety facts rotate every 20 days. So you'd have to be at the site for 20 consecutive days to receive every single sun safe fact. So this was the pre-testing was done after Memorial Day in early June, and the post-tests were done in mid-August. All right. Now this was a very interesting finding. Is a child wearing sunscreen? In early June, you had almost 90% saying yes. In mid-August, this dropped considerably. And when you ask parents, well, why aren't you using sunscreen? They said, well, my child already has a tan. So part of the feedback that we're getting is that parents use sunscreen to prevent sunburns in their children. They don't use sunscreen to prevent UV exposure in children. One of the things that we did see improvement in is the application of sunscreen was much more specific to areas that a lot of parents were not aware of, including the feet and the ears. Consistent with that theme of as the summer goes on, you don't need to protect yourself because you're no longer at risk for burning. We saw a decrease in the wearing of hat. Now, some of that could probably be confounded by temperature. We've had some hot summers in New Jersey over the last couple seasons, and so, but we did see improvement in terms of covering up, and it's mostly SPF rated clothing that we've been advocating parents to use. So, a very breathable fabric. We've seen some increases there. We've seen some slight increase, well, it's not significant, but moving in the direction of where we wanted to go with regard to wearing sunglasses. And the lip balm is probably a function of that was one of our incentives for program participation. So observation, program participation varied by site, moderate high compliance, but about 50 to 60% of the sites fell in that particular range. And with about 16% rarely or never, and sometimes were the rest of the percentages, 20 to 30%. The program participants' sun safety behavior diminished as the summer continued, and I said, as I said earlier, sunscreen is viewed as preventing sunburn, not future skin cancers, not cumulative UV exposure. Those sites, this is a very interesting finding, those sites that had very high compliance tended to have administrators, supervisors, lifeguards with parents that had some type of personal or familial history of either skin cancer or melanoma, and the motivation was off the charts in those community locations where you saw that happening. Recommendations. We need more program monitoring, especially in those sites that were low compliance, moderate compliance. One idea would be to improve compliance would be to provide site incentives for those that are participating on a daily basis. Tailoring the sun safety social marketing to the site, and I wrote something down here as I was waiting. More tailored messages. For example, one of our sites is called Bee Metal Pool, and that was a high compliance site. You could have messaging that would indicate something like this: children at Bee Metal Pool use sunscreen more often than any other community pool in Morris County. And way to go, Bee Meadow. And what you're trying to do is create a social norm where parents see that and want to participate in Bee Meadow being the best site. And there's a lot of media advocacy that could go on here too. We can get a lot of newspaper coverage about particular pools that encourage children to be sun safe. So tailoring the social marketing, I think, would be a very useful addition to our program. And then time series analysis versus pre-post testing. We've been doing pre-post testing. I think the time series analysis, if we had the resources to do it, we could come in and see certain sites start to decline in terms of their program participation, and then we could inject some energy into that site. And then the last lesson we learned is that we rely on the U.S. Weather Service for our UV index forecast for the day, which is a forecast at 12 noon. Whoever's in charge of that, and I've made numerous phone calls after the last couple of years, some people go on vacation for about a two-week period. It's happened now 3 years in a row, where the UV index for the entire country stays at what it was for 2 weeks straight. So it can be raining cats and dogs, and the UV index is 9. And, you know, and so my, you know, the graduate students, and it's scary, the graduate students are saying, so what do I do? I said, well, if it's raining, let's call it a, you know, 1 or 2. So you have to sort of improvise when those folks are going on vacation. You make the phone call, no, we post it every single day. Well, in New Jersey right now, it is raining. We have thunderstorms and lightning today, and the UV index is a 9. So you explain that to me. Questions, comments? Yes. So the parents, caretakers are ambivalent about using sunscreen because of... it's a good question. Yes, I do address that. If you go outside for 15 minutes without sunscreen, you pretty much receive all the vitamin D that you need for the day. You get vitamin D from other types of food products, milk, and certain types of vegetables. There are places on your body that you don't apply sunscreen to. Like, you know, on my head, I'd have to put it right here, but on my hair, I wouldn't, and the sun goes through, you know, my hair and is producing vitamin D. So the tanning salons also have jumped on board of that particular concern the parents have or the public has, and they essentially promote go to a tanning salon to get your vitamin D dose, which is just, I don't know if that's evil or what we call that, but it's just melanoma rates in this country have jumped tremendously, and they're attributing it a lot to not only the the sun behavior of the baby boomers, but also the tanning salons.
Can you tell us costs, please?
For this year? Would you believe that this program runs on $47,000 a year? So it's a five-year funded grant. Most of that goes into the social marketing messages. Almost half the budget goes into the materials. I am able to get pretty cheap labor through my graduate assistantships that I have. I have two graduate students who work on this 20 hours a week, and without them, this project couldn't fly. So it's having the resources of the university can be helpful in getting these programs launched. Yes, sir.
Question about sort of like compliance and role modeling aspect. Did you look at all at what some of the lifeguards were doing in terms of their sun protection behaviors?
We did a training at the beginning, and by the end of the training, they were applying sunscreen. They're all sitting in the sun, soaking up the rays in early June, getting ready for the season. By the end of the presentation, which is about 45 minutes, they're all applying sunscreen. It has a tremendous impact. It's an occupational hazard for lifeguards. It's a carcinogen that they're exposed to, and they have a right to know that they're being exposed to something that causes cancer. And so if you present it that way, and then also if you have supervisors who then tell their story, you get tremendous compliance. It's really the life of, the energy of the supervisors and just some key lifeguards. And those children, if that SunSafe fact isn't posted, they're tugging on the swimsuit of the lifeguard saying, where's the SunSafe fact? Because they want that UV wrist bracelet. So even if the lifeguards were not into it that day, the children were pushing the lifeguards to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if there's better compliance.
Some of it had to do with staffing. Some of it had to do with staff cuts and morale. Morale was hurt by funding cuts in New Jersey. I think I got like 30 seconds.
Well, this is just a comment to follow up, which would be interesting to look at compliance then of the behaviors in the caregivers. So if their kids are saying, oh, you know, where's my sunblock, where's my hat, are the caregivers also adopting more of these behaviors on their own as well?
Yeah, it's our grant outcomes. That would be a nice thing to measure. Our grant out, we're trying to prevent UV exposure in children for the prevention of skin cancer in their generation. It's really what you do as a child and teenager that's.
But then the modeling.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. Anecdotally, I would say that they are applying sunscreen. They are listening to the messages, and they're conveying that to their children. Okay, thank you. Thank you much.